And this is called the stain of sin. It was not sin in itself, but the stain of sin is still there. Although we are redeemed from sin, yet we realize that we have had knowledge of sin. And we need to be redeemed from, not only from the penalty of sin, which we all have been redeemed from. When we accepted Jesus into our heart and life, we are redeemed from the penalty of sin, which is eternal death. But we have to be redeemed from the power of sin. One day we will be redeemed from the presence of sin when Jesus comes and takes us home. In this life, we need to be redeemed from the power of sin. And in the first section, there begins a knowledge of the Beloved. And it says, in verse 13 and 14, chapter 1, a bundle of myrrh is my beloved to me, that lies all night between my breasts. My beloved is to me a cluster of henna blooms in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Notice here in verse 13, it talks about the beloved that refers to Jesus Christ. Jesus is held in the bosom. That talks about the first stage of our relationship with Jesus. We have accepted Jesus into our heart, into our spiritual bosom. Jesus has come into our heart. It begins a new relationship. But as we walk with Jesus, the first stage, the first love relationship, there are five different stages of love relationship with our Lord. The first stage of love relationship with the Lord is Jesus in our heart. But here we begin to see the struggle of the spirit, the soul, and the body. And every Christian who has been born again faces that struggle. To struggle to harmonize and live in such a way that their spirit, their soul, and their body will be in harmony with the law of the Spirit of life. That is why there are a few titles given to the bride in the first section. One of the first titles doesn't look too complimentary, but let's look at verse 9. In those days, it was supposedly a compliment, a good command. We are now in chapter 1, verse 9. Now, from verse 8 onwards, is the beloved speaking to the bride in verse 10, verse 9 and 10. I have compared you, my love, to my filly among Pharaoh's chariots. In other words, the lover was saying, of course, these things that we wouldn't appreciate nowadays, if somebody loved you and said, dear, my dear, dear, you are like my horse. And the other deer replied, you are a bundle of spices. The one that they bundle together and put it in the pot and cook bak kut teh. Bundle of spices. Because we don't quite appreciate some of these expressions, but they are spiritual meaning. Here, King Solomon is calling the bride a horse. You're my cute little horse. Because many ladies will take offense. Don't you ever apply this in our culture and time. It may be different. Some things are applicable. The principles are always applicable, but the methods may be different. And the expressions. The reason why the horse is mentioned, there are two things that he speaks about in regard to the bride. One is the picture of a horse. The other is in verse 15. It says, behold, you are fair, my love. Now, isn't that lovely? The bride is saying, I'm dark. Not the quack quack, but the D-A-R-K, dark. I'm dark, right? I'm dark. And then the beloved is replying, you're fair. As we say, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. But there's a reason for it. See, even though we came out from sin and we still have sometimes have condemnation, we still sometimes have guilt feelings. The feelings are there, although the cross and the blood has cleansed it away and our slate is clean. For He is faithful and just. when we confess our sins before Him, to cleanse us. But every one of us who has ever fallen in some way, big or small, knows that even though you came to the cross and you kneel down and said, Lord Jesus, forgive my sin, you know that after that, there's still one factor called condemnation. It's still there in the memories of our subconscious mind and our soul. And we are always saying, I'm dark. I'm dark. I'm condemned. And we cannot be free. But Jesus doesn't see our sin. Whenever you confess, Jesus forgives, He cleanses, and He casts it into the sea of forgetfulness. Even though you may have fallen 100 times and you say, God, forgive me, this 100 times I'm confessing to you. The Lord says, this is the first time as far as I'm concerned. Say, Lord, what about the other 99 times I confess and your precious blood cleansed me? Yes, it cleansed and I forgot. How marvelous are the mercy of our God. As you stand in His presence, you're saying, I'm dark. The sun has got me. My past has got me. See, she says, the mother's son have put her into such a situation that she was dark. But the Lord says, you are fair. You are fair. You are beautiful. He removes. Here is a revelation that we understand in our relationship with God. He doesn't just remove the penalty of sin. He removes the guilt of sin if we allow Him. If you will allow Jesus Christ to fill your heart and fill your life, you would notice that He doesn't just remove sin. He removed the stain and the guilt of sin so that He could say, you are fair. Even though it looks like in your own eyes, you are dark. But there's a reason behind here. In verse 15 it says, behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes. Today, it's not quite a compliment. The beloved is sitting together with the agapetos, the other beloved. First, he calls her a horse. Now he says, your little bitty bird's eyes. Of course, it's not just a figurative thing. There is a spiritual meaning. Dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The reason that we are fair is because the Spirit has come into us and we have partaken of the nature of God in our life. The Spirit, there's only one cure for guilt. Life in the Spirit. It says in Romans 8 verse 1, there is no condemnation for those who walk in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Only the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, where there's something in you that causes you to know that you know that you know your sons and daughters are the living God, that you're consciously cleansed from your past, that removes the guilt of sin. A lot of people are free from the penalty of sin, but the guilt of sin caused them to live the life of a criminal, even though they were freed and pardoned. They have the consciousness of a criminal, even though they were pardoned in God. So here begins the relationship. The horse represents the flesh, our body. See, there's a lot of zeal, there's a lot of energy. Those who are new in God, those who are freshly in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, are always like a filly, a horse, full of energy, wanting to serve, wanting to do something. And it's like a horse that needs to be harnessed. If not harnessed properly, their zeal can cause them to go aside, or they can knock against something that damage, that would wound them so much that they can never get up again. Which is why the young in the Lord need to be treated with compassion, with care. And they are extremely spiritually fragile. They need to be taken care of, nurtured. The first relationship with the Lord is the Holy Spirit coming into our lives and giving us the nature of Jesus Christ. Then we go to the second section, which begins in chapter 2, verse 8. The second stage of a relationship begins in chapter 2, verse 8. And it continues up to chapter 3, verse 5. That consists of the second section. And that second section is in line with Ephesians 5, verse 26. Different things take place. It says in Ephesians 5, verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Now there are certain things that are taking place here. He sanctified, He cleansed it with the washing of the Word. In the second section, the love relationship with the beloved now changes slightly. In chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "The voice of my beloved, behold, He comes leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, He stands behind our wall." Again, the Old Testament comparison. In section 1, He calls her, "You are my horse. You have little bitty bird's eyes." Now she calls him and she says, "My dear, you're like a deer, like a young stag, and leaping upon the mountains." If you take that literally, Solomon does look very funny. "And he stands behind our wall, he's looking through the windows, gazing upon the lattice." In verse 8, the first mention of the beloved, this time the Shulamite mentions his voice. Now there's a deeper relationship. At first it was just the beloved coming into lying upon the bosom. Jesus coming into our hearts. And there's a lot of energy to be channeled unto the Lord. Now it's different. Now the beloved began to learn the voice of the beloved. The Shulamite learns the voice. It speaks the second stage of relationship with the Lord. We begin to understand His voice and His word. At first, all you have is that Lord in your heart. Now you begin to understand the value of hearing His voice and His word. Across the mountains, over the valleys, through the hills, through the meadows, you learn to hear the voice of the beloved. You learn to hear that still, small voice. And at the second stage of our relationship with the Lord as a church, we begin to understand how to walk in the Spirit. We begin to learn to hear Him and not turn to the left or to the right, but to walk circumspectly in what He commands us to do. That's the first thing that the beloved learns, that the bride learns in the second stage of their relationship. The second thing is in verse 15. Her brothers are now saying, "Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." What are these little foxes? We have the horse, we have the dove, Now we have the fox.